Welcome to 7-Minute Medics. My name is Martha Nicholson, and I'm an F1 doctor in the NHS. In this podcast, medical students and junior doctors will be challenging themselves to revise a topic in 7 minutes or less. This episode is presented by Jana Holmes, a third-year medical student at the Hull York Medical School.
In this episode, we'll be focusing on tuberculosis, or TB, specifically pulmonary TB, which affects the lungs. It is important to note that although pulmonary TB is the most common form, extrapulmonary TB can also occur in places such as the nervous system and bones. The severe form of disseminated TB, known as miliary TB, may occur in immunosuppressed individuals. TB is a bacterial infection, mostly spread through droplets from coughs or sneezes, and mainly caused by the organism Mycobacterium tuberculosis. M. tuberculosis is an aerobic, rod-shaped bacteria. It is impervious to gram staining due to having a waxy cell wall containing mycolic acids, and so acid-fast stains, such as a Ziehl-Nielsen stain, are instead used to identify the bacteria on microscopy. Histologically, M. tuberculosis causes caseating granulomas that contain Langerhans giant cells. Additionally, M. tuberculosis bacteria can become dormant, leading to latent disease that may reactivate years after the initial infection. Epidemiologically, tuberculosis is one of the top 10 causes of death worldwide, with an incidence of 10 million cases a year. Around 1.7 billion people are infected with Mycobacterium globally, and 80% of cases occur in Africa, Eastern Europe, South Asia, and the Caribbean. Risk factors for infection include immunosuppression, for example, patients with HIV, smoking, birth in an endemic country, and close contact with other individuals with TB, especially where many people live together in close quarters, such as in the prison systems. Tuberculosis is a notifiable disease in the UK, and cases must be reported to Public Health England. Contact tracing is carried out for patients diagnosed with active TB to identify linked cases and the need for vaccination. A vaccine for TB, known as the BCG vaccine, is available. However, the BCG is not currently part of the routine childhood schedule and is only offered to those who are at higher risk of TB. Newborn babies should be offered the vaccine if they meet one of the following criteria. They are born in areas of the UK with a high tuberculosis incidence, for example in some areas of London, or if they are an infant or under the age of 5 with at least one parent or grandparent from a country in which TB is endemic. If a child under the age of 16 is shown to be tubercular negative, i.e. they have not yet been exposed to TB, and meet one of the following three criteria, they may be suitable for a BCG vaccine. The criteria are having parents or grandparents originating from a TB endemic country, they have been in a close contact of a confirmed case of pulmonary TB, or they have lived in an endemic country for 3 months or more. Individuals at occupational risk of TB, such as healthcare workers, should also receive the BCG. However, it cannot be given to those who have either previously received the vaccine or those with a past history of tuberculosis. Additionally, the vaccine has only been shown to be 70 to 80% effective at preventing severe forms of TB. It is less effective in adults and has also been shown to be less effective at preventing respiratory tuberculosis. Symptoms of active pulmonary TB include persistent cough for more than 3 weeks. This can sometimes be dry, but is characteristically with bloody sputum or hemoptysis. Unexplained weight loss, night sweats, pyrexia, fatigue, lymphadenopathy, loss of appetite, and pleuritic chest pain. And other differentials for the presentation of TB include bacterial or atypical pneumonia, lymphoma, sarcoidosis, and malignancy. Patients with latent TB will be asymptomatic, but will have a persistent immune response to TB antigens. This may be tested for using a tuberculin skin test, such as the MAN2 test. Another group of blood tests which can be used to identify the presence of latent TB are the interferon gamma release assays, or IGRAs. There are several investigations which are useful in diagnosing active TB. A chest X-ray is the first-line investigation for suspected tuberculosis. Typical findings include nodular opacities, often in the upper lobes, and cavitation. TB may also present atypically on chest X-ray, with middle or lower lobe opacities, pilot or paratracheal lymphadenopathy, and or pleural effusions. It is important to note that these atypical chest X-rays usually occur in immunocompromised patients. Another investigation that may be useful is a full blood count, as this may show a raised white cell count, also known as leukocytosis, and/or anemia. Sputum samples are also a necessary investigation and should be taken for both acid fast bacilli, AFB, smear, and sputum culture. For AFB smears, 3 deep cough samples, at least 8 hours apart, should be taken, including 1 early in the morning. A sputum culture is the most sensitive and specific test for TB and is required for precise species identification and determination of the antibiotic sensitivity and resistance. Nucleic acid amplification tests using DNA or RNA amplification may also sometimes be used for a rapid diagnosis of TB, as results are available much quicker than traditional sputum cultures. Tuberculosis is managed using a combination of antimicrobial drugs. We will first cover how latent tuberculosis is managed, and then active. Latent tuberculosis is usually managed with 3 months of isoniazide with rifampicin, or 6 months of isoniazide alone. Vitamin B6, also known as pyridoxine, is usually given alongside isoniazide to prevent the development of peripheral neuropathy, which is often a side effect. Active tuberculosis is generally treated with an intense 2-month course of isoniazide with pyridoxine, rifampicin, ethambutol, and pyrazinamide. This is then followed by 4 further months of isoniazide with pyridoxine and rifampicin. However, antibiotic resistant strains will require alternative drug regimes. The need for infection control measures should be considered when caring for patients with suspected tuberculosis. In hospital settings, patients with pulmonary TB should be cared for in negative pressure single rooms, with de-escalation of isolation considered after 2 weeks of treatment, depending on the risk of transmission. Multidrug resistant, or MDR TB, refers to strains of TB which are resistant to at least rifampicin and isoniazide, but which may additionally be resistant to other antimicrobials. The incidence of MDR TB is increasing, in part due to patients not completing full courses of TB treatment. Therefore, directly observed therapy may be necessary in patients for whom adherence to treatment is a problem.
So thank you all for listening, and if you found this episode useful, please make sure to subscribe to the podcast. If you have any questions, corrections or suggestions for future episodes, you can visit our webpage at anchor.fm/7minutemedics. Many thanks to Hull Medical Society for their sponsorship of the podcast.